So proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight o'er the ramparts we watched. So gallantly streaming, and the rugged red glare, the bonds bursting in air, gave proof through the night that a flag still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free?
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, hour number two. It's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi and talk to Captain Cliff Webb this morning. Hey, Cliff, what's up, man?
Mickey, man, took a long time to warm up, didn't it? God almighty.
Yeah, it did. That was a week of cold weather there, buddy.
Yeah, that was, man. It really was. God almighty. That was just ridiculous.
Yeah, man.
We didn't lose too much to here. I saw a few dead shad and you know, a few small fish dead, but I didn't see much at all. You know, so hopefully we dodged a bullet. I saw 45 degrees in Baffin. You know, that's about as cold water as I've seen. That's cold enough.
Yeah, that's cold enough. You know, usually it's got a, you know, according to the Hart Institute, you know, 45, if it's below 45 for more than 24 hours, then mortality starts. And then the longer it's below 45. But it, I'm glad you guys didn't get as cold down there as we did up here. Y'all had
I was shocked. The difference that you know, 100 miles made was incredible.
It did make a big difference, didn't it? It was usually y'all get it when we get it, when you get one of those polar deals in. But that low pressure that was sitting over there to the west, that I think that kept those really bitter cold temperatures from easing your way, because that low pressure down by you is what pushed all the snow to us.
Yeah, I could not believe
that. Well, we had some snow, brother.
Oh, I saw some pictures. Mike, one of my clients, sent me some from Sabine Lake, and I could not believe the snow. It looked like something up north, just covered in snow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, not that light, you know, icy stuff, but the real fluffy, powdery stuff. But we didn't do anything here. We got just a little bit of ice, you know, just a little bit of ice here. And it shut my fishing down, you know, Monday and Tuesday. We couldn't go, just too raw, you know, too much weather.
Yeah, it was raw.
You know, the first day I got to go out was, had a trip on Thursday, and the water temperature wasn't rising. They weren't catching much, so we didn't go. Then I went out by myself on Thursday afternoon, and they finally bit late. But, man, the amount of redfish that piled in these spots are just, you know, and I was listening to Charlie, too. Those redfish didn't show up in his spot, but it's funny how those redfish are. You wonder if they're not in Matagorda or if they moved out, because, man, our redfish, when it got cold, they piled in some of these channels. It was just stupid, you know.
I bet.
Yeah,
that's what they're supposed to do.
Yes, and you know, we'd catch trout in amongst the redfish, but about probably 3 out of 5 fish were reds. But when we did catch trout,
when that water gets that cold, the reds are gonna bite when the trout won't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Did y'all have any closures down there that you know of?
No, not at all.
We didn't up here either. I was really surprised.
I didn't talk to Jay or anything. They closed anything down in Mansfield, the harbor, or anything. I don't think they did. But I haven't heard a whole lot anywhere. Captain Barry talked to Wyatt a couple of days ago on his bite. You know, they caught a few, but they really hadn't turned on yet. It just hadn't had that real good warming bite. Maybe it happened today or maybe it happened lately yesterday afternoon down there. Don't know, but it's it was
a
slow bite
for
back.
The next 10 days. So water temps come up and. Here that water gets to around 50, that's when everything starts happening again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love it when it gets at 50 and all of a sudden, you know, 2 days later, it's 55, 56, and everything's pulling up shallow. So they're going to get out of that old cold stuff, man.
That's right.
You sent me a video. While I'm thinking about it, a while back you sent me a video of you, I guess, trout fishing, and it won't play. It's driving me crazy. I get about 2 seconds of it and won't play. You sent me a video of, I think you were trout fishing. Do you remember that a few weeks ago?
Yeah, it wouldn't play. I'll resend it and see if it will.
But what was that, Mickey? Was that an old video or a new video?
Caleb Harf sent me those. One of them was when we were wade fishing. I caught one about 7 pounds. Uh-huh. And that was the one I sent you. And then another one's when Thomas took it when I was when I caught a seagull and I put a funny spill on it and threw the seagull back up in the air and he flew off. You didn't get that one either?
No, man. It won't play. It just shows the circle. You know, it won't play. It just drives me nuts. And I forgot to ask you about it last week. And I said, man, I got to see that. Is that something that happened recently or is that old video or?
Yeah, it was. It wasn't this year, okay. I just thought I'd send it to you because they sent it to me. We were laughing about it on a group text, and they put it on there and saw what a clown I am on the water. They were making fun of me.
We used to have so much fun. I'll never forget that time that all that dipping dye was a big deal where everybody dipped all the plastics and dipping
oh
dive.
Yeah dipping
it was
dive.
Just all over your butt was all over your boat and all over your hands and you know I'll never forget that guy caught that seagull and he dipped his head orange. He painted his head orange, that black head. He dipped it
turned
on
him loose.
And he looked like Dennis Rodman for about 2 weeks flying around.
That's hilarious.
That was it was really crazy how long that seagull kind of sat around, you know, but it didn't hurt him, but he was looking good, buddy.
Dennis Rodman, he had a different color hair every night he played, man. That was
That was awesome, man. That was crazy stuff, man.
Yep.
Hey, but it's good, man. But I got to tell you a funny story. So I go back up to the deer lease to kind of clean out my trailer and make sure the pipes didn't bust and all this coal stuff. So I guess I went up there Wednesday, I guess, and went to the lease and got up there and threw everything down and still some birds up there. I didn't shoot birds, Still got dove. It's not something dove we have. And now I look down the road, Mickey, and there's an animal down there I cannot recognize, a critter on the road. So I got to go see what it is, you know. So I drive down there, I get closer. Well, it ain't a turkey, it ain't a buzzard, it's a peacock in the middle of our ranch. There ain't nobody anywhere close to us. There's a giant peacock standing in the road. And I thought, man, some coyote's going to have lunch because there's no way that guy's going to make it.
No.
You know, but I don't know how he got there, but he is a long way from anywhere. And he's sitting there in the middle of the road. I videoed him just, you know, I couldn't get him to come close to try to catch him to take him somewhere.
Well, I've heard a lot of deer hunting stories, but I never heard of a peacock in South Texas on somebody's ranch in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, in the middle of nowhere. You know, and I know Barry had an emu, a big old emu on his ranch down in Laredo, just showed up one day, you know, in the middle of his ranch and it stayed there for years. And it got real mean, you know, for a while. It attacked the Border Patrol guys, so they had to get rid of it. You know, it was getting real mean. But that peacock was something else. I mean, that's amazing. I mean, that thing had to fly from a long way. I don't know how good they fly, but
I don't
to get where
either.
He was, he had to fly
them.
In there with the
beautiful,
storm.
You know, when they fan out.
But he better find a corn feeder. He's not going to make it.
No, he keeps walking around Sendaris. He's going to be somebody's lunch.
Yeah, only thing that might help him, that big tail. They might attack that tail, but I think if he fans up and bows up a little bit, he'll be so big they'll think twice. But I think sooner or later he's toast. But that was, I've seen a lot of stuff. You know, we've killed all kind of exotics on our ranch that, you know, escaped from other places, all kind of goats and rams and different critters that I think we have some high fences somewhere around the area and they get out and all of a sudden something will show up on our place, you know. But a peacock, that was the first one right there, buddy.
Yeah, that's Never heard of that.
No, sir, never have, man. But I've been seeing some. Have you seen any really good big fish pictures, Mickey? Don't I've just been waiting to see something come from down south. I hadn't seen anything show
man,
up yet.
Anything
really big?
I saw one a week or so ago. I think Angler U or Kelly Wigglers or somebody put it up. A legit double digit fish. A 10-pounder.
Yeah, the one he's holding up. Yes, when he kind of snatches out of the water on the boga, that was a 10-pounder. That looked like a 10-pound fish.
Yeah, that was.
And that was caught
trout
down south. Yeah, I know that's nuts, but you know, it's I'm thinking this coming week. Hopefully, I'm full up this week. It's really going to be good. I'm thinking that water temperature is going to. You know, you think about it, it's got to warm up shallow, and those fish, everything deep's got to come up shallow. And
well, yeah, that's what I usually see up here after these big time cold snaps, and you get a warm stretch. That shallow water warms up a lot quicker, and those fish go shallow, man.
Yeah, I'm hoping that's going to happen. I'm just thank God we didn't lose them because man, that was close. God Almighty, yeah, man,
close call.
I'm thinking, you know, I keep hearing the same thing you're hearing about this one coming in February. I hope that's something that. I've heard that from a week ago about this
big,
nasty
thing. I hope that's fake news.
I hope it's fake news too, buddy. Golly, man. It's not getting everything back to normal.
Yeah, you know, our water temperatures got so low because they were already low from that last front. You know, it got pretty cold in that one.
Yeah.
And dropped the water temperatures. And then when this one hit, once our water started climbing back up in the 50s, and it didn't take it long to get below 40. And that's what scares me. Is when you have a week of water temps below 45, and then when you have them dip down in, you know, the high 30s, that's scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, jury's still out on that up here, so we'll just have to wait. It's a wait-and-see thing here, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, the good thing is we've had some cold weather here to help them kind of get used to the cold weather, so that was a good thing. We had a high tide on this last week.
Well, they claim, you know, it's better for them to acclimate like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then once you get below 45 and stay there a long time, there's no acclimation.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, I know that that hole at Packery is 46 foot deep now under that bridge.
My God.
And they normally shut that down. And they didn't shut it down this time. But I know a lot of
Is there anybody fishing in there?
Yeah, I saw some guys, you know, had some stringers, a bunch of big fish on it, you know, more over their limit, you know, just people sending pictures and stuff. But they didn't shut it down this. I was surprised. I guess it has to get a certain temperature to shut it down. But, you know, that's incredible, that hole up here on the north end. Then down south, of course, you got the land cut for them to tuck into if the barges don't get them. But we do have some sanctuaries for them if, you know, we can just leave them alone, that stuff. But like I say, we just... if we can get a couple more years, Mickey, of no freezes, these fish are right there. I mean, there's so many 6 and 7 pounders, and we had some 8s already. So, man, I'm just thinking if we can get through February, someone's going to pop a really big fish here on Mansfield. You know, I've already known that Bubba Reynolds and those guys have already caught 11 down there, you know, the locals.
Bubba Reynolds.
Yeah, I know that was caught a while back. It was caught on bait. But there still goes to show you, you know, that there's still some really good fish. Mm-hmm. I got a text from Brian Barrera. We'd had some baits to a guy fish with me one day. We was going to fish with Brian the other day. And Brian texted back and says, come fill that day. He's not coming. Man, it was so tempting. He was sending me all these pictures of these snook and big trout he was catching down there. Man, I almost jumped in the truck and went. God almighty. But had to, you know, had business here going on, but. And how about Blaine? Is he all into quail now? I mean, I guess it's all quail going on now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, his quail guy down there, the ones that does the dog hunts, they're jumping 25-plus coveys a hunt, you know, morning hunt and evenings. It's just, it's crazy.
It's got to help with the snakes this cold weather, though. I thought about that.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
no snakes now. And
yes, that was, you know, that would happen to us at Sarita when we worked at the Kennedy Ranch. Was we waited for these big cold fronts to get the dogs out because there was so many snakes in that sack of weeks of grass and stuff. You know, you pray for a cold weather to get them down so the dogs wouldn't get hit. But I know how many snakes Blaine's got. That I never seen so many snakes.
You got
I go back
many
and
birds,
scroll.
You're gonna have a lot of snakes, baby.
Yeah, that's what it is, isn't it? Golly.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Bird, you know, these heavy bird areas, there's always a lot of snakes. Let me knock this break out. I'll be right back at you, man.
All right, Mickey. All right, man.
All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop. They're the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers, located right at the base of the Texas City Dyke at 227 Dyke Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait than with their oxygen response system. It works great on tournament fish, too. They have all of them on display there at the store. They're different size bottles, regulators, and diffusers, and they refill right there for you. And if you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. And while you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught Gulf seafood. If you're looking for the big 9-12-count shrimp, they always have them. And their Cajun Grill next door puts out some really good food at great prices there. So check them out at boydsonestop.com, or you can call them at 409-945-4001. And when you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 619 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, Mickey. You know, as Plog was talking about all the things that we don't have anymore missing that we used to see, and the strangest thing is that I've seen it all these years is all the seagulls have left in Bath, and that is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. So in the days you were constantly pestered by seagulls, like if you ate a sandwich, you picked a piece of bread out, instantly they'd be there. You can throw a piece of bread out and it'll sit there 20 minutes in the water, not a bird on it. So nobody can answer me what happens to all those seagulls. It seems like they left 4 or 5 years ago. And there's a few around the bridge and a few down at Mansfield, but the center of the bay, it's weird. I mean, you got other kind of pelicans and stuff.
You couldn't even throw a topwater down there for all the seagulls.
And, you know, you just wonder what happened there.
They had to use weight to get it down instead of free croaker, and, you know, there's seagulls that eat their croakers, man.
Yeah, we had to take a cracker. They throw the croakers out and throw a cracker behind the boat so the seagulls would go after the cracker so the croaker would go down. Everybody carried back the crackers and Fritos. You know, and now they don't have any problem at all. You know, and you go by a croaker boat, instead of seeing 15 birds, you'll see one or two hovering over the top of them. You know, it's really something. I don't know what happened to them, or maybe they all just discovered the trash dump. I don't know. But
they all came up here to the landfill on Trinity Bay, that waste management place. You want to see some gulls. Good Lord.
Yeah, and in the quality of the base, you know, of course, they're talking now. They're doing all this research in the back of Bath and how the back of the bay is not good because of the fertilizer and all that. But, you know, still, it's not that bad. We still got plenty of grass, and, you know, we're seeing crabs again and plenty of shrimp and baked fish. But the seagull thing has puzzled me. You know, I go down to Mansfield and fish with Jay. They got birds. I go back to Rockport. They got birds. You go in this middle zone, it's like, where did they go? You know, I guess they found better stuff. But, you know, it's and the ospreys are still here. Used to would never see an osprey because, you know, there wasn't very many of them. Right. And now the ospreys are all over the place in this bay, snatching mullet and trout out of water. But
they have really made a comeback, those ospreys.
Oh, my God.
We got them thick up here, too.
Yeah, we got this banded falcon that's back for the seventh year now, or eighth year. He follows the ducks down, and he stays on marker 42 on the intercoastal. He's a big old platform there, and he sits there every day, and he's got a band on him. But that bird's been there, I don't know how long they live, but I know he's been there 8 years. But they follow the ducks down, he's gone. But I'm you know, another thing that's made a big comeback, we used to have never have any, our salt salinity was so high here, we lost all of our crabs. And then a few years ago, we had all that rain, all the crabs are back, you know. And so that's weird how that works. You know, it's all about salinity level.
Yeah.
And that brought a lot of
salinity is a real critical thing. And it, especially up here our way, you know, we got to have the right amount of salinity to support the eggs to make them buoyant when the spawns go off, and then they're all, you know, tide related. They go into the estuaries, you know, to make fingerlings hatch out and all that, that's been a big problem here. Is because some of the usually during spawning times, our water is so fresh that a lot of these spawns are for, you know, they're just going to waste. But the last couple of years, we've had the right salinity, and we're seeing it. That's why we have so many pencils now, because we did get some good spawns off, you know.
Yeah, you know, I'm lucky to take the guys from CCA Fishing, John Blaha, and Robbie Byron. I take those guys quite often. I learn a lot from those guys. And I was fascinated about the flounder, how water temperature is determines on if the flounder will be male or female. The colder the water, the more the females. The hatch will be females. And you know, that is really something. So hopefully this cold front
will get some more females. There ought to be a ton of females coming up in the future because, you know, the water temperatures are cold. And that's
but we catch a lot of males now, a lot of spawn ones. Yeah.
So yeah, right. Here we go.
So I'm hoping that'll happen. But, you know, and so this is what's so crazy is the amount of drum we have now. So you can tell a healthy bait system. So even though we don't have seagulls, when they're catching the amount of drum they're catching right now, Mickey, we have a healthy system. Yes. You know, all the drum liners and the commercial guys are just catching all the drum they want. Still got big schools of drum. So that goes to show you it's not a food problem with the seagulls. I don't know. Maybe they found something better. But that was the strangest thing because when we were growing up, the seagulls pestered you all the time. You remember that? I mean, everywhere went. You know, and you don't have the birds working trout anymore, the shrimp. You don't have the big flocks of birds over the fish. So something's changing over here in our system, you know. So
that's probably just cycle you're going through.
Yeah. We thought the hurricane blew them out. That last hurricane blew them all out and they'd be back. Well, that didn't happen. They didn't come back. You know, but like I say, maybe they found the city dump over here or something, but they're not like they used to be. Oh my God!
Staying at the dump for the easy meal. They don't have to work.
Yeah, the easy meal. But God, and you know, we don't have the. Maybe it could be because we don't have any shrimpers. You know, used to we have shrimpers in the bay all the time. Maybe kept the seagulls there. Maybe that was it too. All the bycatch, but
we don't have any shrimpers to speak of anymore. I remember May 15th opening day. I mean, Trinity Bay would have 300 boats, the channel all up and down would have 100 boats, upper lower Galveston Bay 100 boats, East Bay 200 boats. Yeah. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And, man, it made fishing better for us because it drove all
it kept the sharks out
in
there.
The middle to the shorelines, man. It kept all the sharks out deep on the shrimp boats and all the dolphins. And now the predators are coming to the shorelines and they're chasing our resource. And then now we have all these bull reds that there ain't
that.
No telling how many trout they eat a year. You know,
I can tell you how many people have told me that come from Houston. I have a lot of my people come from there that tell me how many bull reds eat their trout off their hook or you know, that's just nuts. I've had it happen in Mansfield when I went down and fished with Jay a few weeks ago. We had a couple of big bull reds.
People thought I was crazy about it, you know.
I saw it happen. You know, it's not happening here yet, but we've got an amazing amount of redfish.
Well, they live so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they live 40 to 60 years. I mean,
you think maybe the parking lot may have to take that tag off.
Cycles of trout. You know, trout, what are they, 7 to 10 years, kind of like a white-tailed deer. You'll go through four or five cycles of trout for one cycle of redfish.
Yeah, they may have to rethink that redfish thing and let them keep a few more over 30 inches or something, because when they're over 30 inches, there's not much messing with them down here because you don't have the sharks in the bay. You know, at least down there in Galveston, you know, the redfish have a chance by getting eaten by a shark. Here, they're just, man, once they get to 30-something inches, nothing's going to mess with them. It's just a dolphin, you know. You don't see that very often. I have seen a dolphin get into those redfish, though, but you don't see that very often. So hopefully we'll open up some redfish season. I'd like to see some of those get out of here.
I call them feral hogs of the bay.
Feral hogs of the bay, they are. Man. And so we would, it's funny because normally this time of year, all those redfish, the big redfish would leave in Bath and kind of be up the front of the bay toward the causeway and all that, kind of headed toward the Gulf. And a few years ago, I caught a redfish, I think it was right the 1st of February. It was a big bull, was 50 pounds in the bay on a corky. And what that fish was doing in there, I think that he just lived there and never left.
The food source was there for him. And
mm-hmm.
And then there's other theories. I have a lot of people tell me, he said, well, man, I think all these hatchery reds, they weren't born in the wild and they don't know to migrate like the other ones.
Well, that makes sense.
The Gulf and the passes to spawn, so who knows?
But
it's more than I've ever seen in my lifetime.
Yeah, when I was a kid, it was a big deal to catch redfish because there's so many netters here. It was a big deal to catch a red. I mean, there were not many redfish.
Right.
And now they, you know, since the commercial activity's out and all that and all this regulations and stuff, the redfish have really come back big time. God almighty.
Yeah.
If you're a fly fisherman down here in the summer, it's so good. All this white sand, just like Mansfield and Sightcast and all these redfish. We're so lucky. The guys come down from Florida. They can't believe how many redfish we have up shallow. You know, that's just amazing. They saved my bacon more than once.
They do. Pinch hitters, man.
But I'm hoping I have a good trout week this week. Got some good fishermen coming all week, and we should have a warm-up and should be able to get back on the trout.
But our water took forever. It's cold water, huh?
Yeah, it's, you know, it's crazy how long it took to warm up. It got so cold, Mickey, it didn't warm up real fast. You know, it just took days for it to warm up. Of course, air temperature was never above water temperature very much. You think about that. We had a lot of those days that the water temperature was 45 and air temperature was 49, just not enough to really push the water up.
Right.
And I think these next few days of this warming trend, they're going to come up shallow. They got to. We'll find out what's left. So.
Well, we're the warmest thing is this morning than we've been in over a week. It's pretty much 45, you know, to 50 degrees everywhere. So that's about what the water temperature is.
Yeah, what was the coldest you got over there in Houston? What was the coldest temperature you had?
As far as temperature?
Yeah.
Air temperature?
Air temperature.
19 or whatever?
19 degrees. Man.
Yeah.
God.
I think,
well, you know, you didn't have all that shutdown with electricity. Everybody had power. My son lives in Houston. He was thinking about coming down here and hanging with me because he's afraid he's going to lose power. But I think the snow is a lot better than the ice. The ice didn't get on the power lines and mess them up. So the snow, I guess, is a lot better than the ice. Y'all didn't lose it this time.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, thank God, man. I was thinking about you guys because
2021
that was a heck of a shutdown last time, wasn't it?
With all our hunting gear on, freezing to death, man. Well, what in the world is happening? This is crazy.
Yeah, I know it.
But it'll never happen again because I've got big time generator now. So, but I am prepared. For the next one if it happens.
I got a portable one, but I don't know. I have to think about getting one of those things that, you know, inline things. But we don't lose power that much out here, though, Mickey, you know. And I'm old enough now, when a hurricane hits, I'm out of here. I'm just going to take my stuff and go, you know.
Load up and go.
I'm not going to
go to
try
South
to ride
Texas.
It out like I used to.
Go inland.
Go inland. I'm going to, man.
With everybody else.
I gotta get all this stuff eat out of the freezer for hurricane. That's what we try to do. We try to eat everything out of the freezer for hurricane season. That's the main thing. So I still gotta pick up stuff at Belleville. I'm still trying to get stuff to Belleville. I want to get some of that hamburger meat, man. I'd be missing my chili right now.
I'm out of
ground deer meat, and I love that deer chili with that like you said, with that brisket in it. I've had it one time, so I'm gonna have all my stuff done like that. That is really something.
Their burgers big time.
Then you put 40%, right?
Yeah, anywhere from 30 to 40% brisket.
Okay. Yeah.
And
that's what I'm gonna
do. It's really good.
Yeah, I had really Axis last night. I had Axis backstrap. You can't hardly beat that, so
no, that's that's a good one. Man, oh man. That's I hadn't had Axis in a while.
Yeah, it's something else, man. I'm making room for I'm cleaning all the Axis out so I can make room for all that good Belleville stuff. But I'm looking forward to that, Mickey. Hope I get to go fishing. I'm just so tired sitting around the house and waiting for everything to thaw out. God almighty. I've cleaned every fishing tackle
fever.
I've got, you know. Yeah, I got cabin fever bad.
Jimmy Lloyd sent me a text while we were talking. He goes, bingo, predators. Said dolphin, shark, bull reds, jacks, kill them all.
Yeah.
I love it. Sounds just like Jimmy Lloyd.
Yeah, I need Chicano. If I had Chicano down here, we could take care of some of the redfish, you know.
Boy, he'd take care of them, wouldn't he?
Oh, take care of them, buddy. He didn't have any trouble with catch and kill. He was something else, man. Yeah,
we need
stuff.
To come up with a new bull red recipe. Start working on them. Everybody use their tag.
Yeah, I don't know how the Parks and Wildlife can do that, but maybe they could issue a few tags for a few years and try to get some of them out. Because what else going to take them out? I mean, you think about it, they're just going to be more and more all the time.
Bull sharks, that's about it. That's the main predator for big reds.
And
big bull sharks like them big redfish, man. They bite them off right behind the head. Smoke them.
Golly. I saw a video of a dolphin eating. I could not believe this reptile was probably 30 inches, and this dolphin was eating him. I couldn't believe they could eat a fish that big.
You know, that's another thing, I think, reason we have so many big bull sharks in Trinity Bay now. It's because the bull reds attract them.
Okay.
They come to those big herds.
I feel sorry if you guys wade in that stuff. That shark-infested water, man, that's got to be tough to wade in.
It'll make you nervous. You just never know. And with the water off color, you know, you're getting a little bit off-colored water and everything. They may mistake your leg for a bull red. You just never know.
Yeah. Yeah,
but so far, nobody's been hit. I mean, it. Just think about it. If sharks ate people, nobody getting water anymore. You know?
Oh, yeah.
There's just too much.
Yeah, whatever shark story I hear is up around you guys, or a guy gets their stingray boot bit or something, you know, calf bit it, or stringer bit. It seems like it's up there by you.
Always.
The closest I've seen here was Port Aransas. I think a guy got his hand bit at Port Aransas. But down south, you know, we don't really have too many shark bites. We're very lucky.
It's too far for them to swim, and water's too salty.
Mm-hmm.
Those bull sharks are drawn to fresher waters, brackish waters.
We don't get some rain right now, Mickey, pretty soon. Our salinity level is going way up in the bay.
I bet
so
it
we
has.
Better get some rain pretty soon. We need it.
Well, we got plenty of snow melt for you. All right, buddy. Well, hey, Cliff, somebody wants to call you about coming down and hooking up. How do they get a hold of you, man?
All right, Mickey. I'm at area code 361-949-0707. Thanks for having me on, Mickey.
All right, go get on that corky bite this week. It ought to be good.
I'm so ready to get out of here. Thanks, Mickey.
All right, brother. See you. Okay. All right, that's Captain Cliff Webb down in Corpus. Well, you know, folks, AnglerU is committed to steadily expanding its library of videos to cover every topic under the sun when it comes to fishing. Weekly fishing reports from up and down the coast by the best guides and tournament anglers with decades of experience, and they're steadily expanding its library of videos to cover all topics in their archive so you can see patterns over time, along with educational videos with instructional topics covering all aspects of saltwater fishing for speckled trout, redfish, flounder, tarpon. Whether you're boat fishing, wade fishing, or kayaking, go to anglerU.com to become a member today and receive great discounts from partner retailers like Fishing Tackle Unlimited, Anglers Anonymous, and Waterloo Rods. That'll save you a ton of money. Go to anglerU.com, that's anglerU.com, and improve your fishing skills. It's a game changer.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 639 here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down south a little ways and check in with Captain Bink Grimes this morning, live from the blind. See what he's up to. Good morning, Bink.
Good morning. Good morning.
What's up, bud?
Well, we're looking at southeast winds behind us. I can't believe it.
Yeah.
I've been shivering for three weekends and, man, I left Bay City today. It was 38. We got down there. I had all my Iditarod stuff on for the buggy ride down here. And we got probably about a mile and a half from Winter Coastal. And shoot, it shot up probably 10, 12 degrees. And now the toboggans are off. And when I walked back from that marsh in the buggy, I kind of got lathered up a little sweaty.
I bet.
I ain't done that in a while.
Well, it's
done that a while.
Getting us some warm weather back, man. That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, did this front bring you any new ducks for the end of the season?
Not really. I mean, we're just still steady. I mean, yesterday we shot 24, and we had like eight or nine teal, and the rest gadwall and widgeon. And I mean, it wasn't fast or fierce, just steady, and they moved late like they've been doing. And I went on. I can't tell a difference the whole year. Like we got new bird. I've just kept the same
That's
amount.
Strange. I've heard that from several average, people.
Yeah, just average. And I'm not complaining because man, my world has been really, really good compared to the other 99%
compared to a lot of folks.
There.
I can tell you, it is. You're exactly right.
You know, I was just about to tell them. You know, I write the flyway report for Ducks Unlimited, and they contract me to do four of them during the season, one during teal season, one before the opener, one before the second opener, and then one, you know, the last 2 weeks to kind of close it out. And shoot, right. They didn't even want it. They're tired of negative, tired of bad news. You know, there wasn't a whole lot to write. You know, just other right. than, same old song and dance. So, just I don't know. I don't have any answers. Maybe we'll get some. You know, I don't know. I don't have any answers. I just know it's probably the toughest one overall.
Tomorrow's it, remember. Huh? Tomorrow's
yeah,
the last
yeah, tomorrow's
day,
it.
Right?
Yeah, tomorrow's it. Uh-huh. Mars it, and I can't remember a tougher one. Not, you know, overall, I just can't remember a tougher season. For just, I can't remember so many folks telling me they just not seeing anything, and you know, no shot zeros, you know, and hunts and stuff, you know. And I've been fortunate that happened here, but
I've heard that just, a lot over my way.
I know
certain areas no bird hunts. I mean, hunt,
none.
Nothing.
I'm talking about in fertile grounds. I'm talking about
yes.
Yeah, I'm talking about in the heart on the X. I mean, if you want to call it, you know, I mean, choice dirt that waterfowl ground that does not have ducks, has not had ducks, and they're not here because they're. Because of pressure. I mean, it's just they didn't show up.
Right.
First time I've seen it. You know, I can't remember. I have no answers. I'm hoping that it's just an anomaly and we'll forget all about it next year. But that's what I'm hoping. That's what we're hoping to go out on a bang. We're going in on a pond. That's, you know, kind of like this year, I kind of. They, you know, guys ask me how the hunting is, and I tell them, man, it's been, I hate, you know, it's been good for me. Yeah. But, you know, you kind of put it in perspective. There's, when you go in on a weekend and you like to have about 10 ponds that are burned down, you know, close your eyes, limit hunts. And that's mm-hmm. normal out here. I've got maybe two and a half. You know,
right?
And you got to have some weather for that. You know, you really got to have some weather this year. And so that's where we're at. And it's just because there's just no birds in the area. You know, even on the bay. You know, I hunted the bay last weekend, and you just didn't see the rafts of divers out there either. Just right. didn't see them. You know, and.
Well, you can't kill them if they're charging. Not there. That's just
you can't.
The way it is. It's just like fishing. If they're not there, you can't catch them.
That's right. But yeah. I promise you I'll be back next year. We'll try it again. I'm not going anywhere.
Back when I duck hunted all the time, there was lean years and there was banner years. I
mean, there was. There was.
That's the way it is. Was.
And, you know, stuff like, you know, stuff that we're hunting this year, like, you know, you scout and you're looking at ponds that have nothing on it that I hunted 20 times last year that were just burned down hunts and haven't hunted them one time this year. And then some of the other stuff I've never hunted before and go in there and kill 30 of them, you know? It's
right.
just one of them, it's just times they are changing.
What time is your shooting time this morning?
6:44. What time is it right now? Oh, man, I got to load up.
6:45.
These boys right here looking at me saying, man, you better sit your butt down.
Better fill the magazine. Let's roll.
I got Tyler with me, the guy that shucked your oysters that I brought to you for for Christmas.
Well,
oh, yeah.
Golly, those are good oysters. There's no sweeter, better oysters than Matagorda oysters, man.
I agree. That's what we were talking about a while ago. There is it. There sure is it. Yeah. Yeah, we kind of had a flurry yesterday at daylight. I was kind of surprised because we hadn't had that in 2 weeks. We had a little flurry, and then they quit, and then they showed back up about 7:30, 7:45, and we walked out about 8:30 yesterday. It was pretty good here. We shot them without wind. Oh man, we shot them without wind. I mean,
awesome.
I couldn't believe the gadwalls were doing it. And I mean, they weren't doing it, you know, wonderfully, but I mean, they were doing it without any wind. If had you had any kind of wind like we have right now, you know, it would have been out of here, walking out of here real, real soon. Okay, I got two on top. Oh, I don't. But it's the clouds moved in here too, so it's a little darker than what it was yesterday.
Yeah.
We had clear skies, and I think it's still 32, 33 degrees down here yesterday.
Yeah,
maybe it'll warm up the weather. Maybe it'll warm up the bay waters, you know. Get the fishing warm.
You heard anybody catch any fish down your way?
No, no. Not yesterday. Not, you know, hey, in East Matagorda Bay, you know, the. Here we go right here. East Matagorda Bay is about 3 foot low.
Right.
And the reason why I say that, if I say, you know, probably 2 foot, 2.5. At mean high tide, I show 6.5 on my graph, you know.
Right.
And that's at the biggest bulk tide, you know, of June and spring. And right now, they were showing over that same stuff that we drift, it was showing 3.5 to 3.7.
Yeah, that's yellow.
So, yeah, and clear. And so that's tough to catch a fish out there when that water temperature's in the port and that kind of it's tough. It just is. So, but we're going to get some water back today. And I'd be willing to bet, especially with the easterly flow and the barometers falling, that because we had, you know, high pressure and everything yesterday and the day before. And I'd be willing that somebody's going to get a bite today.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people out there worried about it, you know, worried about the fishery. And, you know, praise the Lord, I haven't seen anything floating yet. So
yeah, I hadn't heard anything.
Not saying it's not there, but
nothing to write home about.
No. But, our water in the channel, no matter where the channel stayed at about 40, 46 to 47. Now, that's not the bay, but that's the channel, you know. So I felt a little bit better tonight. If that Gulf water's coming in the low 40s, then that means I think you got more of a problem. It was more of 46 to 47. Mm-hmm. So I was pretty happy about that. It didn't. I don't think it chilled down as much as we thought. So hopefully. I don't know that the jury will still be out. But the good news is the tide was already low, you know, and so long as fish were on the edges anyway, they were close to deep water anyway.
Yeah.
So maybe that's going to help. Maybe they didn't have to travel a whole lot, you know, and the water temperature was already cold. I mean, you know, when I was fishing last week, you know, it was at 50, 51 in the afternoon.
Right.
You know, so it was already, it's not like it was a big drop, you know, they were on the edges already. So,
mm-hmm.
So that's a good thing. That's my theory anyway. I'm no biologist, but
no, we got everybody a lot of got their theories.
The yeah, sure. But I'm not sure all the biologist theories are right too, because it's also real world thinking too. You know, they're not on the water like we are either. You know,
right.
You know, there's no substitute for that. What we see every day. There's weathermen out there too, and they're not out here with us every day and see what we see, you know. And we know what's about to happen by looking at clouds, and you know, it's just different. Oh, here, boys. We got some middling around now. It's still real dark. Still real dark.
Yeah, cloud cover.
I hadn't done much shooting for you on the air in the last month, but if you could hang on to about 7:45, 8 o'clock, I could give you a show. But it hadn't been that way. You can't fight the moon. You can't fight Mother Nature. The moon's been the way the moon's
been.
You're
gonna have to record your hunts and put them on the air.
Right.
We do it live here, man.
Live from the blind.
That's it. Live from the blind.
On top.
Need about 20 teal ducks break in.
looking a few gadwalls right now. You know, and that's the thing. You would have thought that we would have got all these green wings in with all this push and all this.
Yeah.
But we didn't. We
Where
didn't
are get all any, those I mean, little boogers at?
I shot more blue wings yesterday than I did anything.
Crazy.
You know? I mean, as far as teal. I mean, we were pounding on the gray ducks, and I don't know where the widgeon came from yesterday. We've been killing some widgeon, but, I mean, we shot out of that 24, I think we shot 7 or 8 widgeons, and they were, and, I mean, there was 5 or 6 different groups because without any wind, you know, we were trying to work 5 and 6 at a time. You know, they wouldn't finish, you know, so you'd get one, pick off 1 or 2, you know. But we had a whole lot of traffic yesterday.
Just, remember how early all the birds came this year? You know, it was like before the split. That's when the bulk of the ducks were here. And then after the split, it's like a lot of them went on south.
Well, that happened during teal season. You know, 10 days before teal season, there were so many blue wings here.
Yeah, remember all the teal that were here way before teal season? That was crazy.
Way before. And those suckers pulled out Thursday night before the opener, on opener of September the 14th. And on September the 12th, that night, they pulled out. And because I still shot them on opening day, but I was going, we shot them, and something's wrong. I didn't see
that. Yeah, you just weren't seeing near the birds you were seeing before that, though. Mm-hmm. That was a deal. That's what I heard from everybody.
Yep. That kind of started the whole parade this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, Every year's different, and it's just, this is one that I can't explain a whole lot. But we'll add it, we'll put it in the album book and say, remember 2025? I hope we never have that one again.
Yeah, really.
There's some shooting going on in the bay right now. That's good. I'll have them all in my ear.
Probably calm enough if a lot of birds are out there.
Right here. Some gads working. Didn't do it. Hey, kill it there. Kill it now. Kill it now. Oh, we're off the big donut now.
That's it. Goose egg's gone.
Hey, listen,
that's always good.
Yeah.
No goose eggs.
No goose egg. Yeah, the gadwall came in out of nowhere.
Got you a gad chicken. That'll work.
Gad chicken. Oh, great up.
Yeah, They're fun to shoot.
It's a low gray liner day. It's definitely a southeast wind day. Kind of anxious to see what happens. I mean, you know, usually we hunt some southeast winds, but man, we hadn't hunted southeast wind hardly at all this year either. Just haven't.
No. Been a different kind of year. Oh, well. Well, Bink, have you a good shoot. At least we got to hear one duck hit the water, man.
You heard. All right. Hey, good to be on the air with y'all this year.
Hey, it's always good, brothers. Are you hunting again tomorrow?
No, I probably am. I'm probably hunting with some buddies tomorrow.
It's the last day, man. You got to go on the last day.
I'm going to go to Hackberry on Tuesday and hunt with them for a couple of days.
Yeah, because they go a week longer, don't they?
Yeah, go a week longer. Sure do. Sure
I got
do.
You. So all right.
We'll try to do that.
Yeah. Hey, if somebody wants to call you about fishing or staying in your lodge this year in Matagorda, give them a number, bud.
Yeah, 979-241-1705, MatagordaSunriseLodge.com.
All right, brother. Well, Bink, have a good shoot, man. Hope you get them, brother.
Okay. See y'all.
Later. All right. That's Bink Grimes live from the blind. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.